Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years, insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology,
wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Turkey is looking to strengthen its prophetic position in the end times. China is looking to strengthen the other players of Ezekiel. Barna says there's only two things that can save America from itself. And is there anything that can save the Middle East from all this fighting? And maybe all this fighting is why Bible sales have soared? We'll try to answer those questions and maybe raise some of our own as we look at the signs of the times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, March 21st, 2025. Listen or watch any episode again, share them with a skeptical friend, read the articles we talk about, or even ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or just grab our Way Media app right from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who's failed math classes so many times in school he can't even count. And that's Pastor Mark, who recently needed to change his password so it was only 8 characters long. So he picked Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
There you go. That's 8 characters long.
Nice and simple, right?
Yep, and that's perfect timing. They just came out, although I know it's not very popular.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that.
Well, neither is anybody else.
Okay.
So that's
that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. I think it's coming up short.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. That's right.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry.
It was a small joke.
Yes.
We have no listener emails this week, so we are going to get right into articles.
Yes.
Got a couple of articles here for Ezekiel 38 and 39, and our first one comes from thejewishpress.com, dated March 17th. Turkey is moving into Syria and building military bases, or a military base, rather, in Aleppo.
Yeah, this is, again, we're going to see lots of news coming out of Syria. And before we even get into this, you know, we talked before about, I want to make our listeners always be aware of these regional demons. We've talked about this scripturally. What do you mean by regional demons? The Bible talks about certain demons that are over certain areas. Now, whether or not they change over the years or they stay the same ones in those areas, I don't know. But when you read the book of Daniel, you see in Daniel chapter 10, it talks about a demon that's the prince of Persia, you know, the king of Greece. They're princes and kings. It talks about them, different echelons there in Daniel. And I believe, Greg, these demons, they stay in the same regions, it would appear, because when you look throughout history of what these areas were like, they'll have brief moments of break where maybe there's been some breakthrough, maybe even a Christian event that happens. But then it goes right back to this same kind of demonic activity. And Syria is one of them. Now, we've talked about Gaza before. That area down there has always been a problem. You wonder, why are certain areas always a problem? Now, I think if a lot of light moves in and you see a lot of Christianity, it pushes the darkness back. But when you don't, you see this repeated thing over and over. And I think it's the same regional demons stirring different generations to do the same thing.
You know, what's interesting, Pastor Mark, we think about what Ephesians 6:12 says, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it basically we're in a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And then you talk about the regional demons. So that's the spiritual component. And then you can talk about maybe like something that happens with us humans where light comes in.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's we have people now involved. But at the same time, would it be possible, as we think about the spiritual battle, that maybe Michael or Gabriel or some angel comes in and withholds or withstands that regional demon?
Yeah.
And allows? I mean, I'm just trying to picture what does this spiritual battle look like, especially when those types of things happen, where we get like this moment of reprieve or this moment of people can give their lives to the Lord.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a second. We'll get to the regional demon of Syria, which is why I brought that up. But again, think about Daniel. It says that when Daniel was fasting and praying, it says he prayed, and 21 days later, the angel gets to him and says, hey, Gabriel gets there and says, hey, from the first day you prayed, God sent me to you. But the prince of Persia, I have to look.
Yeah,
it's
but
the prince
yeah,
of Persia,
yeah.
The king of Greece, withstood me.
Withstood me, yeah.
So there's this battle where they come together and there's this, I mean, there they are, they're fighting. And it took him 21 days to break through. Now, it would appear that whatever regional demon was over that area there in Greece, the Persia, Iran, Greece area, or those demons over there, they're obviously very high-ranking angels, Greg, mm-hmm. because he makes the comment, it took 21 days, and Michael, the archangel, had to be sent. Like, it's like it was at a stalemate. So they apparently were at the same level of power. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It wasn't like he could, like, you know, fly through some cherries in here and gain 250
right.
more points of
yes.
power. You know, it's kind of like, here
Super
we are.
Mario
and
Brothers.
It's like, it's almost like this wrestling, like they're locked.
Yeah.
And you can't break through. And so it says, God sent Michael. And Michael seems to be kind of the bruiser of heaven. That's what when you see in scripture, yeah. he looks like he's the one watching over Israel.
Yes.
And again, you say, well, how come anything gets through? Well, again, God allows what he allows. Michael has his
yeah.
limits too. God, God says, Michael, you do this and whatever. God can stop all of it if he wanted. But by the way, I want to just brag on Michael for a minute. I mean, look at these last couple of attacks where all these bombs came in and missiles from Iran. Michael knocked them. I mean, they didn't get anywhere. So you can say, you can talk about the technology, America, Israel, but look, if Michael wasn't there orchestrating and God over Michael, it wouldn't have been that way.
Yeah, good point.
But Michael breaks through, the bruiser of heaven, comes and busts through, and then Gabriel gets down there and talks to Daniel. And then when he goes back, he says, now, I've got to fight my way back through. You know, they're going to oppose me to go back. So certainly he was either able to, or God sent some other angel, or Michael again fought with him and broke through or whatever. So there are different levels of demons. They have different power. God has allowed these fallen demons to maintain their power that they have. God hadn't taken it away from them. He's going to lock them up one day, but he very clearly has not taken away that power from them. So they're still in those regions doing that. And we no doubt have a demon. You know, we have one watching over Knoxville and over Tennessee and
yeah.
over in different parts of the United States. You know, there's different demons, different levels. This is why the Bible says fasting and prayer, when Jesus was casting out the demon-possessed boy and the disciples were unable to do it.
They couldn't do it on their own, yeah.
And although he'd given them the authority to cast out demons, it says, when they came to this one, they were not able to do it. So the Lord speaks and casts the demon out, and they got alone with him after that, it says, and said, Lord, how come we couldn't? I mean, we could before. Why couldn't we cast this demon out? He says, this kind comes out only by fasting and prayer. And so you wonder, what is that kind?
Mm.
And I think we've probably all felt we've had contact with this kind before. There are those you just pray and they're gone, and some of them seem like the battle continues to rage, so we have to fast and pray and for God to get in tune with God's spirit and allow God to work through us in greater power to oftentimes release ourselves or someone else from some type of demonic oppression or attack. So they're very real. Jesus doesn't talk about demons as something psychological or something that they're very real. And he they have names. They're, again, I believe the fallen angels. There's different viewpoints. Some believe the demons are something else. I personally believe they are the fallen angels. And so we see these different echelons. Well, I say all that to say, when we see these articles about Syria, and we're going to get to one about Germany in a moment,
mm-hmm.
we'll see that. So we'll talk about that when we get there. Same regional type demon. There are these demons. You know, when this really came to my mind recently, Greg, I was watching how they were torturing people in Syria. I know that sounds crazy, but these the news outlets that, that some of the news outlets I have, they have these feeds where these evil people, these demonically led people, put their own videos out of them killing people and torturing them. And I don't take any pleasure in that. I don't watch it for that purpose. I'm just watching news, and there it is. I'm like, oh my goodness. And when you see just the cruelty, it's not just, okay, we killed them, which is bad
it's
enough.
It's inhuman.
It really is. And I'm not even going to describe thing or two I've seen because it's really beyond the pale of, you know, kind of put images go in your mind that are hard to get out. But when I saw that, I thought, okay, this is not normal human cruelty. There's human cruelty.
Yes.
This is above and beyond. It is so evil and so much going on with, like, you know, Hamas and what's going on in Syria. It's demonic. And when you read about Assyria, which is the region of Iraq and modern day Syria and that whole area today, you look back at their history, they were known for this type of evil. For example, you know, they would skin people alive and leave them out in the sun to die, tied down, and then they, you know, release insects on them with putting honey. I mean, it was
all sorts of stuff.
It was this, the level of, you know, cutting off body parts. You know, the point is, they're doing the same thing. Maybe not exactly in some of those examples I gave, but in many ways, the same type things. And when I saw that, I said, this is the same demon. This is the same prince of something, king of something of that area. And he's moving in the hearts of these people to do the same evil that they were doing back in their day. Again, they were the Assyrians, Greg, with Sennacherib, were so feared in their cruelty and the way they would torture their captives that anytime they came near cities after they got their reputation, there were many people in cities, they all just committed suicide because they'd rather kill themselves than let them be tortured by these guys.
Wow.
That's how bad it was. So, and they were out of what we call modern day Syria. And it was Assyria and Syria in that day. So you see the same regional demons, I believe, because remember, they're eternal. They've been there thousands of years. They just stay there and they just take the next generation. They deceive the next generation. They torture the next generation. They do the same thing. The only reason you see a break from these demonic things is when Christianity comes in and the light pushes them out. And then you'll see a break for a while. For example, Germany, when the war was won and light shined in Germany, you saw this push back. Well, we're seeing some of that same demonic stuff starting to creep back in Germany. And again, we'll get to an article here in a moment, not like they're doing in Assyria. But the point is, this is that same kind of demonic stuff. And I promise we will get to the article. But I want to say this one thing before we even get into the article, because when we see these articles about Syria, we think about Isaiah 17:1 and the destruction of Damascus. And you think, why would God destroy Damascus? Again, at some point, he says it'll never be re-inhabited. What's interesting about that is that it's so bad that he says, okay, we're done. Time's up. You know, God's gracious, but there's a point he reaches where he said, that's it. When the children of Israel went into Canaan, God had given them 430 years to repent. That's multiple generations. They never repented. And God said, all right, not only are you not repenting, all you're doing is continually raising up the next generation to be that evil or more.
Yeah.
And God says the only answer is to wipe you all out. And I mean, you got to just wipe them all out. And that was men, women, and children. And some people try to accuse God, you know, how could you do that? And then send the children of Israel. No, it was a merciful thing because God was stopping the evil. And again, the children that got killed, at least they have, I think, an opportunity for heaven where they wouldn't have had they been raised by those parents in that environment.
You know, what's interesting when you go back to the days of Noah and it said that the thoughts of man were just continually evil all the time.
Yeah.
And the evil was so egregious for God that he said he was sorrowful that he made man.
Yeah.
And he ended up flooding the earth and starting all over.
That's right.
He promised through the rainbow that he wouldn't flood the earth again. So the destruction of Damascus is almost the equivalent of God flooding the earth in terms of the results of the destruction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you're right. You're right. And we're going to see in the last days, what's it going to be like? It's going to be like the days of Noah.
Yeah.
So it's coming back. And that'll happen once the church is out of here. We talked about that. The Bible says we're the salt of the earth. Salt's a preservative. And once you pull the preservative out that keeps judgment from coming, then the judgment will flood in. So back to the regional demons in the area of Syria and Turkey. Listen to what it says. As you said, they're moving into Syria, building military bases. This is interesting because, remember, Turkey is going to be linking up with Syria in the move against Israel in the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle. And Greg, I will say this. We don't have an article on this, but right now there's a major uprising against the president of Turkey, Erdogan, the leader of Turkey, if they call him the president. I can't remember, but the leader of Turkey.
I think he's the president.
Yeah, Erdogan. There are tens of thousands out in the streets rebelling right now, and they're saying he may fall. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. But again, now we see him. Listen to what the article says. According to a report last week by the UK-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, there's been a large-scale military mobilization by Turkish forces, along with an extensive deployment of mine engineering teams in the villages of Marans and Al-Akamiya and Minog in northern Syria. And I quote, "This step reflects Ankara's efforts to strengthen its military influence in the region." Again, the capital of Turkey, to strengthen their influence in the region. Last month, Turkey officially denied reports claiming its army intended to establish two new military bases in the country. A senior Turkish official instead claimed Ankara was working on a roadmap to address the security and defense needs of the new Syrian regime of Ahmad al-Sharra. As per request, the Syria's new administration, are working on a joint roadmap to strengthen the Syrian army and implement concrete steps in this regard, stated according to Kurdistan 24, this station. Israel and all others attacking in Syria must end their aggression actions at once. So they're, again, the same demon working through Erdogan against Israel. Others, there will be a negative consequence that will reflect on everyone. Israel's Ministry of Foreign Affairs issued a statement shortly afterwards saying, Israel completely rejects the statement of the Turkish president. So again, you see this, you're going to see this tit for tat and battle, yes, going back and forth verbally and maybe in other ways. Not so much, there's not war between Turkey and Israel right now, but it could, who knows? There is there in Syria. But again, we expect to see this growing because it's heading toward that battle. But again, getting back to the Isaiah 17:1 in Syria, you know, God says enough is enough. And I believe when it says God's going to destroy Syria, that's when it's going to reach that boiling point. It's interesting to me, Greg, and we've noted this on the broadcast before, but it's interesting to me to see the wicked people that are taking over Syria, all the torture, all the wickedness, led by what would appear to be the same demonic demon that was doing it back during biblical days. At some point, God's saying, that's enough. And what's happening is, the things they're doing are so incredibly egregious before heaven and so cruel before man. God can't let it go but so long. But you're seeing them all kind of amass. All the wicked, they're all coming together to work together as
being
a team.
Drawn in, yeah.
Yes, and I'm wondering, it's just a thought, only God knows. I'm wondering if God is now drawing all of these wicked forces together around Damascus and they're the headquarters of Syria to one day bring that judgment. And not only fulfill what he said would happen, but the reason he's going to do it very possibly is to finally deal with this issue once and for all and just wipe all of those guys out. So, you know, at some point, the cancer has to be removed. There's no healing. There's no chemotherapy. There's no surgery that will work.
Right.
God will try all that.
Yeah.
God will go in with every possible treatment to remove the cancer before the person dies. But if the cancer takes over, there is no result. And the final result of cancer taking over the complete body is death. And so God will eventually, at some point, if a society gets bad enough, he puts it to death. And it's a merciful thing because it protects everybody else around them. I see this happening in Syria. I see this being built up in Syria. I'm not saying that everybody in Syria is wicked. Don't misunderstand me. There are Christians in Syria right now. We're seeing them being murdered in mass numbers right now, actually. But there are still some that are seeking God there and others that aren't just pure evil. But there is a taking over of Syria right now of a large number of purely evil people and forces and tribes and groups. And I believe that eventually it's going to come to a boiling point where God's going to say, okay, we're all done. And that's going to lead to that Isaiah 17:1, kaboom, and they're out of there. So we may be seeing the beginning of some of this, Turkey getting involved in that. Whether or not that will happen before Ezekiel 38 and 39 or after Ezekiel 38 and 39 or simultaneously with Ezekiel 38 or spawn Ezekiel 38. We'll have to wait and see. But keep your eye on that region. You're going to see more and more wickedness because there's not much light at all that's stopping the dark realm there. And so you're going to see the dark realm continue to take ground and continue to get more and more evil until God's going to deal with them.
Well, some more evil to keep our eyes on comes from All Israel News dated March 18th. China and Russia are declaring a joint stance on the Iranian nuclear program as the three powers reject Western sanctions.
Yeah, again, now this is something that shouldn't surprise us. Once again, we see Russia and Iran linking together because they're going to be coming together in this battle against Israel. So we expect that. The China thing's still interesting to me. Again,
yes,
there's no mention of China whatsoever in this battle. So I don't think God left that out. I mean, God could have left that out, but China's so big. I think that what that means is we're not going to see China moving against Israel for whatever the reason. I think China's kind of like, hey, we're all kind of bad guys together. We'll join in with you, but we're not going to, are godless. They're not all bad in China. I'll say that again. There are believers in all these countries. China, Russia, and Iran have believers and people that love God. But as a nation, they're not following God. These nations are not following God. And so China, again, I think they're just jumping in. It's almost kind of like, you know, when you've got something, I'm watching it happen. You're watching politics all the time. People that come together that normally don't agree with each other, but if they see a common cause, they suddenly link up.
Yeah, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, yes.
Yeah, and we saw that with, you know, when the Lord was crucified, you had Herod, who was an enemy of Pilate up until that time. And then when Jesus came, Satan linked them together, and Herod and Pilate became friends from that point on because they had a common enemy.
Yeah.
So I think China's just involved in these things because they have this common enemy. Russia and Iran are involved because, again, that's going to be something where we're going to see them coming together against Israel. So China, I think, is going to come into play at the Battle of Armageddon, very possibly. I think so, those coming from the east. But we don't see anything here. But either way, it doesn't surprise me they're linking up. Our focus is on Iran and Russia. But listen to what it says. The meeting, dubbed Evil Empire Summit by All Israel News. Now, they didn't call China, Russia, and Iran did not call themselves the Evil Empire Summit.
That was not their marketing group.
No, it wasn't. That would be maybe a Babylon Bee headline, but it wasn't their headline. This was by All Israel News, the editor-in-chief, Joel Rosenberg. And again, Joel Rosenberg is a strong believer that lives there in Israel now. He was attended by deputy foreign ministers of the three countries and focused on the Iranian nuclear, the conference was attended by deputy foreign ministers of three countries and focused on Iranian nuclear ambitions, according to Joel Rosenberg. In a joint statement, China, Russia, and Iran emphasized the necessity of terminating all unlawful unilateral sanctions. So again, they're defending Iran. They're fighting with them and saying, I mean, America's putting sanctions on them. So this is a direct slap at America. The three countries reiterated that political and diplomatic engagement and dialogue based on the principle of mutual respect remain the only viable practical option in this regard, emphasizing that the root causes of the situation were sanctions pressure and threats of force. So what they're saying is, you know, Iran's reacting this way because everybody's threatening them. But if everybody left them alone, they wouldn't do it. Nonsense. It doesn't matter what you do with Iran. These people are bent on their leadership anyway. Not all of them. There's some great people in Iran. But the Iranian leadership, matter of fact, the people really are friendly to Israel, many of them. But the government's evil, and the government is the one that's, no matter whether you, I don't care what you do for them, they're going to hate Israel, they're going to do evil things, and they're going to do terrorism. So this is nonsense. It's all political fake speech. China and Russia, it says, welcome Iran's reaffirmation. Note this. Welcome Iran's reaffirmation of the peaceful nature of its nuclear program.
Oh, my.
According to the state, what they're saying is, hey, they have a right to have nuclear energy in a peaceful way. No, they don't, because it's impossible for them to do anything in a peaceful way. They've proven every tool they get that can be used as a weapon against their enemies, they will use. And what that means is, if they get nuclear weapons, they will try to use them against Israel. And by the way, my fellow Americans, they will try to use them against us as well, because they call Israel the little Satan. They call us the great Satan because we're larger. So they want to get Israel first, because there's that spiritual battle where Satan hates the Jews more because they have the promises of God. But then Satan hates anybody that loves God, which are the Christians. So America is second. And so, again, China and Russia welcome this reformation. Nonsense. Ahead of the meeting, Rosenberg warned they would, and I quote, strategize how to help protect the wicked Iranian regime from crushing new economic sanctions designed to punish their illegal, relentless, and incredibly dangerous effort to enrich enough uranium to build an entire arsenal of nuclear warheads. Tensions between the U.S. and Iran have ratcheted up in recent weeks. Now, they have enough, they say right now, they can prove that Iran has enough enriched uranium right now for 6 nuclear warheads. But they say they're going to be getting a lot more soon. I mean, how many do they need? One is too many. Because again, it's like giving the worst criminal you can think a deadly weapon with nobody else armed around them. I mean, this is nonsense. And so, it's going to get interesting, because Greg, they've got to stop them. And you're going to see something here, I think, very soon. I think President Trump said they were going to give them something like 2 months to get something right before they came in and took out all their sites. Now, is that a trick? Will it be 2 weeks? and now they're not expecting it, and boom, 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 boom? Or is he really trying to show goodwill to the world to calm them down? Hey, we gave him time. They didn't do it. Now we're going to go in. Boom, 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 boom. I don't know. But again, it doesn't matter if they give him 2 months, 2 years, 100 years. They're not going to change.
No.
And it's, again, that same demonic spirit leading him. So I'm not looking for change on that. And at some point, we just have to move before it's too late. And you can't move. We got to move before they move on us.
As we head back to America, we visit the Christian Post, dated March 16th, an article talking about a Barna survey that says less than half of Americans believe God actually exists.
Now, this is shocking to me. We had a Barna thing, I thought, recently that was talking about a number higher than that of what they believed about God.
And maybe that was just a Christian poll versus an American poll.
It must have been.
But this is all the country, not necessarily a people group within.
But what's shocking about this headline, even Greg, before we get into this,
sure.
It'd be one thing to say less than half Americans believe in the God of the Bible, or less than half Americans believe that God intervenes in lives, whatever. But they're saying less than half Americans believe that God exists.
Yeah.
Now, we know that everybody believes initially, and then they have to learn not to believe. Because the Bible says that. But to think that you could harden yourself so much that you don't even think God exists, you know, I it's shocking. That shows that's a dangerous place that our nation's in. And they're going to talk about revival, but if we don't have revival, we are definitely going down at some point. And whether that's going to keep going in the rapture, we're out of here, and then it really drops, I don't know. But if you totally remove God from a society, you are going down. And it's only a matter of time. You know, I find this, and before we jump to the article, it's interesting. It says that when Jesus was doing all the miracles and said people were believing in him, it says that he didn't believe in them because he knew the hearts of men.
Mm.
And I know that he believes in them, that they exist because he created them, but I thought, how interesting. Man, you know, people, I don't believe in God. Well, guess what? He doesn't believe in you either. And that's kind of a very interesting kind of twist of things.
Yeah.
That is, he doesn't believe in their heart. But listen to what it says. A new survey has found that more than half of Americans do not believe God exists or that he affects lives. So he doesn't exist and he doesn't intervene, prompting one prominent researcher to highlight the need for, and I quote, sweeping national repentance and spiritual renewal. No kidding. I mean, we need to be praying for revival. God, send revival to this nation. We need you to rescue us. Send revival to your church. Now, let me say this, in revival, we need revival. But I want our listeners to understand what revival is right here real quick before we go on and what to be praying for. You're not going to get revival among unbelievers because they've never been vived. I know that's not a word, but you get my point. Revival is from someone that was alive and has died, and they need to be revived and brought back. The unbeliever's never been awakened. So revival can only be limited to the church. That's where revival is limited to. So what we pray for is God send revival to the church. And we pray God send a spirit of evangelism and openness and reception to the unbeliever. So we're praying for the unbeliever to be saved in whatever way you pray that. The revival is for the church. And I agree, if we have over half of America that doesn't believe in God, we've got a big problem. Mm-hmm. We need to raise up the next generation in God. The Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University released the second installment of its American Worldview Inventory 2025 on Wednesday. The research found that overall, 60% of Americans do not believe God exists or that he affects lives. Nearly half of self-identified Christians, 47%, and slightly smaller share of theological identified born-again Christians said the same. Now, Greg, think this through. Listen, over 60% of Americans say they don't think that God exists or that he affects lives. But then now they said, okay, let's go just to those who claim they're Christians. Self-identified. If you asked them, are you a Christian? They say yes. Now, by the way, I would have said I was a Christian before I was saved. I told people I was a Christian, and I didn't think I was lying. I really believed
right.
I was a Christian. It wasn't until I truly met Jesus that I realized, wow, I wasn't really a Christian, and I never really was one. I was self-deceived because here's why I thought I was a Christian, and this may speak to some of you listening today. I thought I was a Christian because my dad was a pastor. I went to church on a regular basis. And I would have said I believed the Bible and I believed in Jesus, that he died on the cross. But that's not enough to be saved.
You believed it intellectually.
Yes, you've got to receive it. It's got to be a thing where you say, I believe he died on the cross, and by the sacrifice of spilling that blood, because only blood can take away sin, by that sacrifice, you have to believe and then receive it. I believe it, and I receive it in my heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I receive that now, and then you're born again. So it doesn't matter what you believe. It's what you receive that makes you saved. As a matter of fact, it tells us in James that the demons believe. Isn't that a thought? A crazy thought? The demons believe in Jesus Christ, and they tremble.
With fear.
And yet no demon will be in heaven. So think about that. Who are some of the strongest believers in Christ in the universe? Demons. Are they going to be in heaven? No. So that means if you're listening to this broadcast and you say, well, I'm a strong believer, here's my question. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Are you a strong receiver? Have you confessed your sin and repented and received this gift, putting your faith? How do I receive it, Mark? By saying, Lord, I put my faith right now. I choose to put it in you and the sacrifice you did for me on the cross. I believe your blood washed me clean. I believe it and I receive it. And if you do that, the Bible says you're born again. So these are those who are self-identified Christians, but they're obviously not real Christians. So these are not believers. How do I know that? Because half of self-identified say that, and identify as born again even, said they also don't believe that God exists or affects lives. 47% of those that are self-identified Christians. And get this, 40% of those who say they're born again. So what that tells me is, well, here's what that tells me. There's a big contingent of people in our nation who self-identify as Christians that are not saved and they're not going to heaven. Secondly, there's a big contingent of Americans in a heaven, on earth, in America, sorry, who say they're born again and are not going to heaven. So saying you're a Christian won't get you to heaven. Saying you're born again won't get you to heaven. You've got to believe and receive. It says in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, to those who believe and receive, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. So I just want to encourage you, if you're listening today and you say, well, I call myself a Christian, I say I'm born again. Let me ask you this. Is it just head knowledge, or have you really brought this down to your heart and made a true commitment? And the way you know that is you've repented of your sin. Have you repented of your sin? If not, you need to repent. So you have to repent of your sin, receive him, and walk with him. So again, I just think it also shows me this, Greg. Our churches are filled with people that are deceived and think they're going to heaven, and they're not.
So Pastor Mark, if they say they're born again by what? Their good works if they don't believe in God?
No, born again is, and when I from the South, let me just speak from my viewpoint of born again. It was a people group. It wasn't a belief system.
Gotcha.
I was a Christian. They were born again Christians. And the born-again Christians, to me, were weirdos.
Yes.
They were like, you guys are weird. I mean, you believe your Bible literally, and you actually take them to church.
And you love Jesus?
You take your Bible to church? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And you talk about loving the Lord, and you're always saying these Christian things. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, what? And it's like, I get around you, and it's like, I don't like it. Well, here's why. I just called myself a Christian, but I'd never been born again. They were truly born again. And Greg, I didn't understand. Jesus said this in John chapter 3, unless you are born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot get in by going to church. You can't get in by saying you're a Christian. You have to be spiritually born again, and that is that believing and receiving and committing to Jesus, repenting of your sins, accepting his blood for you, and believing it and receiving it. So again, it was a people group. So when I see Christians and born-again Christians, it's almost like, you know, I could name denominations and just say it was the same thing. It didn't mean anything different to me than that. It was just, you're a people group. And so I'm not a part of that people group, but I'm still a Christian. I'm still going to heaven. Well, I wasn't. And the shock that I had, I remember when I've truly met the Lord, when I believed and received and truly was born again, and I knew I was, I'd met him, and I knew I'd met him, because you know when you've met him, you know you have.
Yeah.
It's not just something you talk about. I was like, oh my goodness. I really thought I was going to heaven. I really thought I was saved. That was the first shocker. The second shocker was, oh my goodness, thank you, God, that you saved me, because I would have died and gone to hell. I mean, the shock that would have been at death, to realize that suddenly I'm not going to heaven, it would have been, I can't even imagine. I am so thankful that he came and got me and saved me. And so for anybody listening out there, if you're in that place where I was and you're just calling yourself a Christian, even saying you're born again, but you don't know for a fact that you've met Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God's Spirit bears witness with the true believer that they've met God. So if you don't have a spirit bearing witness with you that you've met God, you haven't. And you need to do it right now through prayer and committing yourself. Now, before you go on with the article, one quick thing to say too. Some of you know that you've met God, but you get nervous every time you hear this, and you're going to be saved for the 50th time this month. You don't know. If you truly know you've met him, you don't have to keep getting saved. You're saved one time. But every time I share this, like with our body, I'll have people that I know the Lord because I see the fruit. You see the evidence in their life. And they're going, I don't know. You said that today. Maybe I'm not saved. Okay, look. Make sure. Okay, I get it. But here's the fruit. Here's why I believe you are. And so if you're out there listening too, don't be panicked and thinking, okay, well, maybe I'm not, because you have this more worry type personality. So just make sure you know him. And then once you know him, you don't have to keep getting saved. You're saved. It goes on and says, George Barna, director of research at Arizona Christian University, said of the findings, the more time you spend thinking about what this research tells us, the more you're likely to conclude that nothing short of sweeping national repentance and spiritual renewal can save America from itself. That is so true. I mean, we have no hope but a revival from God, because people themselves, they don't naturally go to God. The Spirit's got to draw them. So we got to be praying, Lord, draw our nation back to you, revive the church, and then draw the unbeliever to you that they can come to know you, or we're in big trouble. He added, and I quote, it seems obvious that political, economic, and legal or institutional improvements are not what America needs most desperately today. Those cultural arenas merely provide prescriptions that address the symptoms, but not the disease. Isn't that true? It's like everybody's got all these symptoms they want to do something with, and they're not getting down to the issue. For example, look, political, if God's called you to politics, go for it. But politics, that doesn't mean anything as far as saved or not saved. That's man's efforts in the flesh. And you're not going to get any. We could pass all these laws politically that everybody has to obey everything in the Bible. That won't save anybody. That'll be laws, and it'd be kind of cool, great laws. Everybody's got to obey the Lord. You're a country. Everybody have to obey the Lord. But still, on Judgment Day, many people here would die and go to hell and wouldn't go to heaven, because it's not about rules and laws and regulations. It's, have you really met him in your heart? Have you been born again? Have you made that personal commitment? He goes on lastly and says this. The report, he said, is evidence that God has been reconfigured into our own image. This is great. Into our own image, in order to fit within our personal comfort zone.
What idolatry.
What a statement. Here's the bottom line. I want everybody to know this. Look, I know you know it, but I want you to really let this sink in. The Bible says that God created man in his image. That is, God is who he is. He doesn't change. And it doesn't matter what we believe about him. He is who he is. So how do we know who he is? He reveals who he is in the Bible by the word of God. So he says, I've created you in my image. Here's who I am. And here's what I watch people do. People create God in their image. And they put themselves as God, making him like them. And it goes with statements like this. Well, if I was God, I would never blah, blah, blah. Well, you're not God. And there is a true God, and he does certain things. And here's what he says he'll do in his word. So it doesn't matter what you would do if you were God, because you're not. So you better get in line with the true God if you want to go to heaven. Otherwise, you won't. So if you're out there making God in your image, deciding what you like or don't like because you would never do that, realize you're in big trouble if you don't repent. Because God is who he is. He makes the rules. He sets the guidelines. And we've got to come his way, or we're not going to get in.
You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor.
All right, we got some one world government news this week. This is perplexing to me. And Pastor Mark, you're going to have to explain this, coming from Fox News, dated March 17th. Syrian forces strike Hezbollah positions in Lebanon amid execution charges.
Yes.
Is this like infighting?
Yes, remember, among the Muslims, you've got Sunni, you've got Shia, and they disagree, they kill each other. And also,
that's clear.
And then here's the thing, even among Sunni and among Shia, if they don't like something they've done, they still kill each other. So they're very violent and aggressive against each other. So what happened was, there were these, well, let me read it. Listen to what happened. Fighting along the Syrian-Lebanese border intensified on Monday as deadly clashes erupted between the Syrian military and the Hezbollah-aligned forces. The escalation follows accusations from Syria's interim government that Hezbollah terrorists crossed into Syrian territory. So over from Lebanon, they came over into Syria, okay, kidnapped three Syrian soldiers and brought them back and executed them on Lebanese soil. So now they've got this fight where you have these back and forth tribes and different groups fighting. In response, the Syrian army then launched artillery strikes against Hezbollah over there. So back and forth, how that goes. Their positions targeting what is called gatherings of fighters responsible for the killings. Hezbollah has denied involvement. The Lebanese newspaper Al-Akbar, which is affiliated with Hezbollah, reported that the Syrian army successfully captured the village of Hawsh on the Syrian-Lebanon border during the confrontations. Currently, most of the fighting is near the village of Al-Qasr. Early this morning, Saudi-owned Al Arabiya reported intermittent clashes between the Syrian army and Hezbollah forces along the border. The report also claimed that Hezbollah ammunition depot in Lebanon was destroyed by Syrian artillery fire. So again, yeah, you've got these different groups, Greg, that are going to fight back and forth, even within, again, remember in Islam, look, in Christianity, you've got Presbyterians, Methodists, you know, non-denominational and all that, right? But we don't kill each other. We may disagree and you know, hey, we think we're right. You know, we don't kill each other. Among Sunni and Shia and their other disagreement, they kill each other. And so that's what you got going on. And, you know, it's interesting. I've heard it said that if it wasn't for them fighting each other so much, they could have easily overthrown Israel a long time ago. Now, that's not true because God wouldn't have let them. But it makes
the point. Yeah.
Yeah. They fight so much among themselves. It's a break for Israel.
Yeah.
So very interesting.
All right, our next article comes from The Guardian, dated March 18th. World leaders express outrage at Israel's renewed bombing of Gaza's civilians.
You know, the scripture I think of here says that the entire world, i.e. world leaders, are under the sway of the wicked one.
1 John 5:19.
That's right. And so what you've got is, again, I would expect the world leaders to hate Israel and hate anything Israel does because they're under the sway of Satan. God has an agenda to protect and promote Israel and keep his promises. And so Satan has an agenda to destroy and tear down Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter who the people are. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities in heavenly places. But it doesn't surprise me that these world leaders would be, again, opposing Israel for doing this because they're being led by the spirit of the Antichrist and Satan himself. Listen to what it says. World governments and the UN officials have expressed horror. Why don't they express horror at
October 7th?
Well, at October 7th and what they're doing even now to the hostages.
Yeah.
Where's their horror and outrage over that? You don't hear that, do you?
Where's the horror about what's happening in Syria?
Yeah.
They've expressed
horror and dismay at Israel's resumption of strikes on Gaza that killed hundreds within a few hours, warning that the assault could shatter a ceasefire that was intended to be permanent. Now, it is interesting. We talk about Gaza. Once this ceasefire broke, Greg, they went in, they had their plans laid out. They knew where the bad guys were. And Israel went in and hit 80 targets, I think, in something like 10 minutes. I'd have to go back and look again to make sure. Maybe they'll say it here, but it was like boom, 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 boom. So that's what they're talking about. But what they don't realize is that, again, the wording here, Gaza civilians, they're not targeting civilians. These are terrorists. Jordan, a U.S. ally that is a peace agreement with Israel, called the strikes aggressive and barbaric. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
But not October 7th.
Yeah.
Egypt, which also has a diplomatic relationship with Israel and helped mediate the truce, called the bombing a flagrant violation of the ceasefire that took effect in mid-January. Well, it's not a flagrant violation. They said
Hamas didn't do what they said they were going to do.
They didn't release the hostages.
Exactly.
We said it was going to end. We said we're going to do it. No surprises. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said Palestinians in Gaza were being subject to intolerable level of suffering. What about the Jews and those in the tunnels, all the hostages? While Felipe Lazzarini, the head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, said resuming the war would fuel hell on earth. Now, even before we go on, remember, regional demons.
Yes.
You have the regional demons right now leading these people there in the Gaza region. These are the same guys that were there when the Philistines were there, the same spirits. And so you see the same thing happening, and now the same judgment's falling upon the people. The UN Human Rights Chief, Volker Turk, said the airstrikes and shelling, which killed hundreds, are horrifying. The nightmare must end immediately. The last 18 months of violence have been abundantly clear. There's no military path out of the crisis. Yes, there is. Completely do away with all the terrorists. And he called for a political settlement in line with international law. Israel's resort to yet more military force will only heap further misery upon a Palestinian population already suffering catastrophic conditions. While Israel says the war is targeted at Hamas, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, is fighting allegations of war crimes and crimes against humanity at the International Criminal Court, including starvation of civilians and extermination. This is the most ridiculous. I'm going to talk about this in a moment.
Yes, I know.
The Israeli government is separately disputing allegations of genocide. Absolutely. We'll get back to that. Let me read this last paragraph. The UK Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, said on Monday, before the strikes began, that Israel committed a breach of international law by blocking aid to Gaza. Nonsense, 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 in a significant hardening of the British position. Israel quite rightly must defend its own security, but we find a lack of aid unacceptable, hugely alarming, and very worrying, he told the Parliament. Now, they did block it. So when I say not true, they did block it, but you got to understand the context of this. They have more food than you can dream or imagine. They have, I've seen the videos. Listen, Hamas and the people in Gaza are releasing these videos themselves. So many hundreds and hundreds of truckloads of food and supplies have come in over the last, since October 7th when all this started. They literally have warehouse after warehouse after warehouse after warehouse full of food, water, drink, supplies, even special things, desserts. I mean, these guys, like, they're feasting over there. And I've seen it in their videos. This is such a lie. They're trying to present it as though Israel is starving these guys. This is nonsense.
I know.
They've got more than they can imagine as far as Israel giving to them. And by the way, they say genocide. Did you know that the population has actually increased since October 7th in Gaza?
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Thank you. Yes. I can't remember who I talked to. I'll tell everybody that.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yes.
But it's actually increased.
Yes.
So how is genocide a growing population? Someone tell me. How is genocide a growing population? And yet at the same time, you want to see genocide? Look at what's happening to the Christians and the Alawites in Syria. They're wiping them out by the tens of thousands right now in these brutal, evil, demonically led things. Our Christian brothers and sisters that we need to be praying for. And that's a genocide. They've stated their goal. We want to kill everyone from your group off the earth. They're stating that is genocide. Israel is saying, no, we're dropping leaflets to let people know we're bombing. We send in loads and loads of food. We're going after the bad guys, and they're growing in population. It is so angering. You know what? It's like, I have to calm down because I know that this is what Satan does. God knows what's going on. It just drives me nuts when the world, again, they have the access to these stats, Greg.
Yeah.
They know the truth, but they're being used by Satan to lie. And it just, again, it just bothers me greatly.
Well, I'm going to take you out of the Middle East and I'm going to take you into Europe
this
story.
I need a European vacation.
You need a European. Well, I don't know that you're going to want this vacation,
right, okay,
but we'll see.
Right. No, I won't.
This is from the
don't
BBC.
Don't go here is what you're saying. That's right.
Well, yeah. This is from the BBC. This article is, I think, dated today or yesterday. Germany votes for an historic boost to their defense and infrastructure spending. And this circles back to what you were talking about regarding regional demons.
Yes, you're right. Because here we go now. Germany, remember, we saw this demonic thing rise up in Germany in World War II, where, again, they were leading Hitler, and he was very, very into the occult and trying to wipe out the Jews. Why the Jews? Because of God's promises to them. And now so many years have gone by, and the darkness is moving back in. I've been watching a change in Germany recently, a lot more anti-Semitism and other things. And now this historic boost to for defense and infrastructure. Why is this important? Because remember, out of Europe will come the Antichrist, who will have a great army. And who knows, maybe it's going to have something to do with Germany. We don't know where it's going to be, but we know there's obviously a very powerful demon there. And now we see them saying, look, we can't depend on America anymore. We need our own army. The Bible says that's going to happen. So this is a SOT news alert. Ding! Prophecy news just in that Satan is moving in Germany. Germany has voted to exempt spending on defense from its strict federal debt rules. Germany lawmakers have voted to allow a huge increase in defense and infrastructure spending, a seismic shift for the country that could reshape European defense. Now, again, this is not speaking openly against Israel, but this is, again, we know the Antichrist is going to be feared with a great army out of Europe. The law will exempt spending on defense and security from Germany's strict debt rules and create $547 billion worth of infrastructure fund. The vote, a historic move for traditionally debt-shy Germany, and could be hugely significant for Europe as Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine grinds on and after U.S. President Donald Trump signaled an uncertain commitment to NATO and the European defense. This is a big political win for Friedrich Merz, expected to be Germany's next chancellor. However, state government representatives in the upper house still need to approve the moves, etc. Now, so the bottom line is, in this article, they are trying to build their own military, and we know that whether or not they take over America or America links with them and gives the military to them, it says the Antichrist, when he comes into power, Greg, it says who can go to war with the beast?
Right.
His military might and power is going to be so great that nobody can dare fight him.
So you would almost think that this move by Germany would actually give way to the other European nations within the EU to get on board with this move to basically create a European Union military would basically replace NATO.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
NATO's got to be out of there anyway in order for this military we speak of that will be under the control of the Antichrist. And if this is an EU-based military that works with all the European nations together, it's that much easier for him to control.
Absolutely. It's going to be that one world government, the one world military, all that. And again, keep your eye on this Germany push because it's going to link into other things and do it as well.
My bad. I did not mean to start that over your speaking.
That's all right. We're good.
But anyway, let's talk about some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption.
Yes.
This is from Fox Weather. A dozen's dead as recovery operations begin in the wake of a monster storm that spawned violent tornadoes and dust storms. This happened between our last episode and this week.
And remember Romans 8:22, the earth is groaning, the Bible says. This goes back to the whole climate stuff. Yeah, there's going to be changes, but it is predictable because the earth is groaning in its sin, waiting on the Lord to come back and be restored because of the sin of mankind, that is the fall. The Fox Forecast Center has confirmed at least 56 tornadoes in 10 states so far, an EF3, EF4 tornadoes as well. The storm survey teams from National Weather Service will be out in full force to inspect damage and to determine the intensity and path of additional twisters. Fast facts, here we go. Missouri, Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama. All reported deaths from powerful tornadoes. Dust storms left several dead in Texas and Kansas. Wildfires were blamed for additional deaths in Oklahoma. Preliminary damage surveys found two EF4 tornadoes in Arkansas. So again, you're going to see more of these storms, and they're going to have greater intensity as the earth groans and we get closer to the Lord's return. Cleanup and recovery operations are underway across the central and eastern U.S., in the wake of a powerful system that swept across the nation, producing these violent tornadoes and storms. Again, we missed it here. We dodged a bullet here in Knoxville. Yeah. The multi-day severe weather outbreak began to unfold Friday and lasted through the weekend, pounding communities with thunderstorms and packed hurricane-force winds and gusts, torrential rain and lightning that knocked out power to hundreds and thousands of utility customers. The Storm Prediction Center said that more than 1,000 storm reports were received during the multi-day severe weather outbreak. The Fox Forecast Center has confirmed again the 56 tornadoes. Again, be prepared for this. We're going to see more of this as we head into the last days. It's going to get worse. It is not man-made climate change. It is man's sin that is forcing some earth groaning, and we're going to see more of it as we get toward the return of the Lord.
As we head to a church article from ChristianPost.com, a study finds that half of churches are now seeing growth since the COVID-19 lockdowns.
Yeah, half of the church. And I've noticed that one side of our church seems to have more people than the other. And I never thought about that till I read this article.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't mean half the actual building.
No, the building. No, Pastor.
Oh,
no.
I'm sorry.
We're talking about
I'm
the church. The church at large.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay,
yes.
Well, let me get refocused.
Not in
today.
Our sanctuary.
All right. A report by Lifeway Research published Tuesday found that 52% of those surveyed among Protestant congregations saw their worship attendance grow by at least 4% over the past 2 years. Now, let me say, first of all, praise the Lord, but let me give this balance. I don't really know if the church is growing, guys.
Mm.
I think it's people that are
maybe they're gaining back what they lost.
Some are coming back.
Okay.
I think you're seeing people coming back. So especially the article we read earlier, I think the church is actually suffering right now. So this article has all these glowing things I'll read some more on, but I think this is really people coming back is what's happening. Again, remember, Greg, when after COVID and the economy dived, the Biden administration, after it passed, all of a sudden everything just kind of came back. And they were bragging about, look how we're doing. Look at our economy. Look what we're doing. And it really wasn't that. I mean, it was a false picture they were giving because really all it was is now people are able to go back to work. Businesses are opening back up. So, of course, look, if you have 100% of something and 90% of it flows out, your water, let's say, in the tank, you're down to 10%. Well, when you fill the tank back up to 100%, you can't say, look how we've increased our water supply. No, you just got back to where you were. But you could brag and say, We managed a 90% increase in our water over the last month, when really all you did was refill the tank back to where it was before it emptied out.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening here in the churches, sadly. I don't know that they're growing. I hope they are, but if people don't believe in God, why would the church be growing? The report also found that more growth was reported among evangelical pastors than mainline pastors, with 57% of evangelical congregations reporting at least 4% growth and versus 46% of mainline congregations reporting the same. Additionally, 62% of Pentecostal, anyway, I won't worry about all those numbers there. It says clearly the last 2 years of attendance growth was aided by people returning to regular attendance. So they note that after being away since the start of the pandemic. So basically, Scott McConnell, this executive director of Lifeway Research, is saying, yeah, but not so fast. And so I agree with him.
Yeah.
Most pastors wish they had returned earlier. That is, the pastors, the people, they wish the people to come back sooner. But their attendance is a source of optimism, though future growth will need to come from brand new contacts. Now, this is interesting. Let me call on this before we go. I know we have one more article. I'll be quick. Look, if the pastors had returned earlier, the people would have.
Yes.
You know, a lot of pastors closed down their churches. And I know we needed to give it a month or two to see if people were really going to die. But once we saw that it wasn't really what they were saying it was, we should have all come back. Because the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly together of believers, as is the manner of some. And then it ends by saying, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching. It means, especially in the last days,
yes,
be in church more. And a lot of churches closed down, and they didn't have church, and that was in directly opposition to what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
So they say they may have wished their people would have come back sooner, but you know what? Had they come back sooner, their people would have come back sooner as well. So we need to make sure if this happens again, that we as a church obey the Word of God and don't close down the church, because God has commanded us to go.
All right, as we wrap up episode 355 of Signs of the Times, we land on some good news. I don't know, maybe this is perplexing news considering the other articles we talked about today, but this is from crosswalk.com. Bible sales soar in the UK and the US, signaling a global spiritual awakening, but yet we've got all these people that don't believe that God exists. Well, so anyway, it's just very interesting.
You're right, but that reflects, Greg, where we are, but this is encouraging, and hopefully this is where we're going, because
okay,
again,
good.
What's if you know God? It's the Holy Spirit that stirs people, and it looks as though if God is stirring a heart for spiritual things,
we'll take it.
Maybe we'll see a revival. Bible sales have nearly doubled in the United Kingdom in the past 5 years, according to a new data that reflects similar trends in the U.S. and indicates a growing hunger for God's word throughout the world. Sales of the Bible increased 87% in the UK between 2019 and 24, according to data compiled by the Christian publisher SPCK Group using information from Nielsen Book Data, the Times newspaper in London first reported. Books about religion are also on the rise. That's kind of cool. The United States has a similar surge in these rise in these areas. Last fall, the Wall Street Journal cited book tracking data showing the Bible sales had increased 22% compared to the same time frame a year earlier. Similarly, the publishing arm of the Southern Baptist Convention said Bible sales had soared 30% in the past year, according to a December report. A hunger for God's word is spreading across the globe. In Russia, Bible sales increased by 52%. That's cool in Russia.
They can sell Bibles in Russia? Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, now remember, there's a lot of Orthodox. They approve Orthodox religion, so you can get Bibles in Russia. They don't forbid Bibles. They just don't really have that real relationship with God.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says the British-based Bible Society, co-founded in 1804 by William Wilberforce, reported that sales of the Good News Bible, the youth edition, had nearly doubled since 2021. By the way, I would not get the Good News Bible. It's basically almost like a cartoon book. This whole thing, you know, like find a Bible that really, guys, goes to a real translation. A lot of these Bibles don't really do that, and so you want to get as close to that as you can. And some of those, the King James, the New King James, ESV, NASB, a lot of these are really they're following translations of they're a real translation from the ancient documents. A lot of these others, like the NIV and others, they're really, again, I'm not trying to condemn that. I'm just saying they're not really.
They're transliterations?
Well, no, that's a different thing. Different. I said that before in the past. I was wrong. No, they are not translations or transliterations. They are simply thought for thought.
Okay,
and that
gotcha.
Is they take a thought.
Not word for word.
They read the real translation and they put it in their thought.
Gotcha.
And the problem is that's not the word of God.
No.
And so, again, and I caution our listeners. I know a lot of you out there like The Chosen. And now there's a new series out called The Kingdom of David. I'm watching The Kingdom of David. I'm enjoying it. But the thing is that these don't look to these as being truly accurate biblically.
Right.
They're kind of like thought for thought. It's almost like the NIV
yes.
version of the Bible. And so again, just know that it's not literal. There's a lot of things that don't line up with the Bible. Don't make that as your view of the Bible. Go to the real Bible, and then you can enjoy these things. But know how to parse that out. And again, I'm not condemning the NIV. I think for a new believer, that can be very helpful because a lot of times you can't understand things. Mm-hmm. But I think at some point we need to kind of grow into solid Word of God, which, by the way, as we finish the show, again, I just want to encourage our listeners again today, make sure you're not one of those who say they're a Christian or even say they're born again, but you really can't say for a fact you know when you die where you'd go. You need to be able to say right now, I know if I died right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'd go to heaven. If you can't say that, you need to get on your knees right now after this broadcast and say, God, I say I'm a Christian, I say I'm born again, but I don't know that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me on the cross, and I receive it. I receive it, and I repent. Make it real in my heart. Make sure you know that you know that you know, and His Spirit will bear witness, and you'll know that you'll be saved. Don't take a chance. You don't want to find out on Judgment Day that you were deceived like all these people. You want to know.
Great encouragement, Pastor Mark. Folks, thanks for listening. Don't forget next Friday at 1:30. We will return with more news and articles to see and learn how the things happening in our world today are pointing to God's Word as signs of the times right here in WIM in 24 hours a day on thewaymedia.net. Have a great weekend, and we will see you back here next Friday at 1:30.